just the new surroundings and getting the defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting to go back to work. It's exciting to get on the field and really be able to put our hands on these players. You know, each step along the way, we've done a little bit more. Phase one, the players are just working out with some meetings. Phase two, we can work some individual drills. Phase three, you really start to put it together, and we can see the progress from the guys. You know, it's nice. The weather's nicer. We're able to get outside. You know, I think we're making some progress there.
How much of an adjustment has it been to fit back and fit back into the defensive coordinator's role?
You know, I've never strayed very far from defense, even as a head coach. And, you know, I've stayed in meetings and stayed in walkthroughs and, you know, calling plays and, you know, being in the practice that way. So it's not that much of an adjustment.
How much of this phase of the process is evaluation against installation?
Yeah, you know, we're really... The only thing we're really evaluating with players now is their ability to grasp scheme and things like that. The stuff that you're seeing out on the practice field, you know, we're not judging players on the finisher plays. It's a non-competitive situation. We want to learn. We want to learn their role in the defense. We want to learn how everything fits together. And, you know, they are being judged on that and their work ethic. But the on-the-field stuff, it's all about technique right now. When we get to training camp, you'll start judging them more on wins and losses. You know, wins, whether it comes to, you know, a coverage or a pass rush or things like that. You have to be careful about judging too much into stuff out there. It's non-contact. It's not really football.
Would it be fair to say that there's a lot of experimentation in terms of personnel and defense for that?
You know, that'll continue through training camp. You know, one of our jobs as we go through training camp is to find out what our players' strengths and weaknesses are. And, you know, coaches, our job is to put them in good position, accentuate our positives, try to minimize our weaknesses. There's 32 teams that are doing the same thing right now. Every team is going to have some strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, that's something that will be developed through the course of OTAs, through the course of training camp, preseason games. You know, so every year is a little bit different. Even though it's been a coaching change this year, you know, my experience is even if there isn't a coaching change, every year your personality is going to be a little bit different because your player is going to be a little bit different.
When you mentioned strengths and weaknesses there, maybe from what you were able to review on film last year and what you've seen in the practices so far, could you identify some of those strengths as you see it right now?
Well, I think we have talented players on all three levels of our defense. You know, a lot was made of our Pro Bowl players up front, but, you know, a young player like Kiko Alonso, even though Kiko hasn't been out here full time, you know, he's been out there doing just a little bit, some individual, a little bit of 7-on-7 here and there. You know, he's on a progression like a lot of other guys. We added a really good young player in Preston Brown. He's really done a nice job through this. But probably the secondary is where I've been the most impressed. And, you know, it's one thing, you don't really see those guys out there because, you know, a lot of guys aren't, you know, fully participating. They're doing some individual here and there. But I think we got some depth at corner, at nickel. You know, we got a really good young player. We lost to Jarius Byrd, but we were able to keep an exciting young player in Aaron Williams here. So I'm excited to work with all three levels of the defense, but probably more so the secondary than anything else.
The emphasis over the past 3 years, you've not been here, but to stop the run. This defense has had difficulty, no matter who's been important, stopping the run. How much of a priority is that, or knowing that you've got to stop the pass too, but to be better against the run seems to be the emphasis?
Yeah, you know, I think when you're good against the run, it affects all other areas of your defense. If you're good against the run, you're going to generally be better on third down because they're going to have longer third down distances to get. You're good in the red zone. The best teams in the red zone every year are the teams that can run the ball and stop the run. And then also, if you can make a team one-dimensional, it can set up turnovers. And this defense was very good in creating turnovers last year. I think that all ties together, and I think you can't ignore the fact that Ralph Wilson Stadium is difficult to play. Half of our games, you know, the wind might be blowing so hard that it's difficult to throw the football. I mean, I still remember that game. I was in Chicago, looked up. We were playing a 4 o'clock game. I looked up and saw the goalpost bent in half. And, you know, that's one of those days defense coordinator is saying, okay, well, they're not going to be able to pass it. We're going to have to be able to stop the run. And you know, I think that's where a lot of that comes. We can't ignore where we play. The AFC East, we're going to have some games like that. And our ability to stop the run will set up the other things. But then when it's all said and done, the hallmark of any defense is not how many rush yards you give up, how many pass yards you give up. It's your ability to limit points. And if we can limit points, then we've done our job. And it doesn't matter if they're all rushing yards or all passing yards. We got to keep them off the board and do our very best to keep the score down.
Mikel Roby's a guy, he's only 5'8", he was undrafted last year, but he had a pretty big role on the defense last year. Do you anticipate him having a big role again in this year's defense?
Well, 5'8 might be being generous.
He's taller than me, and I'm 5'7".
Well, I tell you what, he's if you measure heart, if you measure things like that, he's 6'10". He's been a guy that's been impressive, and it hasn't just been from watching practice here. It's been watching last year's tape. He's very unique in some of the quickness that he has. He's got great anticipation, sees the game really well. He's certainly going to have a role. He's been one of our best players through our OTA so far.
In general, you draft a big. Do you have to adjust your scheme for him?
I've coached all kinds of size guys. We've big ones, small ones. He knows his job. He has a unique skill set, and it's up to coaches to find a way to utilize that. And I think our job isn't to fit square pegs in the round holes. Our job's to match the square pegs and the square holes and the round pegs and the round holes and put guys in good position. He's a guy that makes it easy to put him in good position. He's a student of the game, and he's a playmaker. It doesn't take long to watch practice to know that he can make a play for us.
Mario last year seemed to excel or seemed to get some when he was moved around. And it seemed to be something that was a change from the previous season when he was stuck in one position. What's your philosophy on shifting guys around, and especially of his ability?
Well, the first thing is the offense knows what number he wears. So, it's a little bit. I had 5 years of Calvin Johnson, and we moved him around a lot too, but they still saw a big joker that we're number 81, and they knew that's who it was. And, Mario's got a lot of that same in him. He's so damn big, and, he's such an explosive player that even if you move him, they're still going to account for him. But there's a fine line there. You want to be able to be creative, move him around a little bit. But then there's also something to be said for him being comfortable in one position, being able to create a matchup against an offensive lineman. It's hard to work an offensive lineman, meaning set up your speed to power move or set up a spin move if you're not matched up against that guy a lot. So we'll balance that. I think it's a good situation as a coach that you have a player that's multidimensional enough that you can move him around. You can stand him up. You can drop him in coverage, even though we're probably not going to drop him a whole lot. Quarterback's happy when he's dropping in coverage. But he's going to get a lot of attention. We can also use that to our advantage sometimes. I don't want to stretch into saying he's a decoy or use him as a decoy, but I've been around some great defensive players, and they're going to get a lot of attention. It's going to open things up for other guys, and that's football. That's offense, defense. A great player that gets a lot of attention can create some other things for his teammates.
Jim, you're the fourth different defensive coordinator that this team will have in 4 years. Were you aware of that coming in, and does that change your approach at all in the sense that maybe you try to carry over some things that they had done from last year just to make it easier on guys?
Well, we've kept a lot of terminology the same, and it's a lot easier for me to pick up new terminology than it is for players. And, terminology is sort of a portable thing. Generally, coaches, my experience, you're turning over some of your terminology every year anyway because you don't want to sit with the same system and the same terminology. Tom Brady has heard calls on the field. You want to be able to stay fresh and change some things from year to year. So even if the coordinator was the same, you're going to have some of your systems going to change. We talked about having a personality of the team. And what you were successful with the year before doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be successful with the next year. So we've worked to try to have some continuity, particularly with some terminology, some of the schemes. I wouldn't want to put a percentage on it, but that has been on our radar, and that's something we've talked about as coaches. But then again, right now we have a very big playbook. By the end of OTAs and by the end of training camp, that playbook will be pared down to the things that we're good at, the things that we can execute, the things that fit our personnel. And I don't know that that's a change if I was in my fourth year as a coordinator or if it's my first year and I'm the fourth of four. That still wouldn't change for me.
Coach, you actually have your own opinion on the talent that you have at your disposal and what each player can or cannot do in your mind. But knowing that some of your assistants here saw these guys under live bullets in person last year, how much do you maybe lean on them for a second opinion on some of the talent that you inherited?
Oh, well, we spent an awful lot of time together. I mean, when, you know, that's one of the good things about being here in Buffalo is the weather was so bad that we had plenty of time as coaches to stay together. And, you know, when that snow was rolling and it was 5 degrees outside, we were holed up in the room, you know, watching all their stuff from last year. So we did get a perspective from, you know, from Donnie, from Jason, from Samson, into what was being asked of them next year. And, you know, their unique perspective on, you know, the returning players. But, you know, there is something to be said. You know, you can spin coaching changes about any way you want. You know, one thing I would say that, you know, players do have a clean slate. You know, they come back and, you know, whether they had a really good year or a really bad year last year, they have a chance to prove themselves all over again. There's no doghouse from last year. There's no penthouse from last year. You know, they have to prove themselves in every year in this league. That's this business. Whether you're proving yourself to a new coaching staff, whether you're proving yourself to a new position coach, proving yourself to a new locker room. We have some guys that have come from other teams. They have to prove themselves all over again, prove themselves to Western New York and a new fan base. I think that's what keeps us all fresh. I'm in the same boat. Now I got to prove myself all over again, and that's exciting. I think that'll bring out the best in players. It'll bring out the best in coaches.
Jim, how big of a setback might it be to not have Marcel here?
Yeah, I think I'll let Coach Marrone, I'll defer to him. You know, I mean, I've worn that hat for 5 years, and I understand the, you know, the chain of command when it comes to that. I'll just say this. I'm really excited to work with these guys, and once we get to mandatory minicamp, I'll be really excited to work with, you know, the full group of guys. We have a few guys that aren't participating. That's just, you know, the way the system is. And, you know, our job here is to coach the guys that are here, coach them as hard as we can, and worry about the things in our department that we can worry about. And my job is to worry about the guys that are on the field right now. So when he gets back, we'll be looking forward to coaching him.
Jim, with the regards to your safeties, do you prefer that they're interchangeable, that they know both roles, or do they more have defined roles in your system?
You know, I think the whole league has sort of moved to interchangeable safeties. You know, the days of having a in-the-box safety and a deep safety, that's, you know, all they have to do is motion a tight end and you can change it. You have to be able to cover a wide receiver man-to-man, but you also have to be able to get down in the box and tackle a 235-pound running back. You have to be able to blitz. You know, it's a wide range of skill set. That's why I'm so excited to work with Aaron. Aaron has shown all of those things. He can range from the middle of the field. He can cover a guy man-to-man. He's got those hybrid corner safety skills. And the one thing that I hadn't studied him since he came out of college, but the thing that probably impressed me the most was his physical play. He's a tough guy and really made a physical impact on the field last year. So you'll probably see more, you know, non-compartmentalized, I don't know the best word, whatever you said there. But there's those lines, all due respect to Robin Thicke, there's a lot of blurred lines when it comes to free safety and strong safety. You know, those lines have closer and closer to disappearing.
Is it too early to has anybody sort of stood out next to Aaron, or is it still being sort of?
Yeah, you know, we don't want to read too much this time of year. Nobody's going to earn a job in OTAs. Nobody's going to get a leg up. What they're going to do is they're going to show that they can grasp a system, that they can communicate, that their fundamentals are good. But we're going to wait till training camp that anybody gets an edge or anybody earns any jobs. It's going to have to be with, you know, with live-er bullets, I guess you'd say. It's going to have to be in training camp, padded practices, preseason games. That's where the true evaluation will occur.